Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom. I'd like you please to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Kohelet. And as we're moving along with the study of this wonderful, interesting book, we have arrived in this ministry meeting to Kohelet chapter 8. And I would like to read all this chapter, the whole 17 verses that I found here in this 8th chapter. Remember that it is Kohelet, Shlomo, Solomon, the king of Israel, who was the one who was the son of David, Ben David. He was ruling and reigning from the city of Jerusalem. And this is his instruction to Israel, the nation, as he was gathering them together and instructing them in his later days as he have arrived to an older age, and he's helping them to see the importance of living life in a sinful world, in a vain world, a life that will help them to honor God in the midst of all the chaos that is existing under the sun, Tachat HaShemesh. So he continues with his instructions in chapter 8, verse 1, and he says, "Who is as a wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleases him. Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither has he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen, and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said, this also is vanity. Then I commended mirth, because a man has no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night see a sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Amazing how Shlomo, the king of Israel, share with his people, Israel, these instruction concerning godly wisdom. You know, beloved brothers and sisters, to remind you that Shlomo, Solomon, was the wisest man on earth in his days. God had given him wisdom to be able to lead Israel as a nation and to be able to guide them for the time of Shalom, the time of peace of 40 years in his life here on earth. But the wisdom that he received from God was good for him when he submitted to God, when he allowed God to control his life. Then when he departed from the Lord, when he departed from the God of Israel, all the wisdom that God had given him was not availing for him, because a departure from the Lord, having merely human wisdom, did not avail him, because, as we have mentioned many times, he have turned away from God. He have gone astray from the God of Israel. He worshipped other gods. He offered all sort of sacrifices to idols because of the things that he had followed in his days, and you might say the latter part of his life. And then he turned back and he repented, and now he is giving this counsel to Israel, and he's giving this counsel to you and I. We too, there are times that we are walking with the Lord. There are times that we have fellowship with the Lord. We enjoy fellowship with Him. But there are also times, beloved brothers and sisters, when we turn away from the Lord with human wisdom and we find ourselves falling on our faces and living in such a way that God cannot be pleased with our lives. And so Solomon, now remember that we said that the book of Ecclesiastes, Kohelet, is divided into two major sections. In the first section, chapter 1 to the end of chapter 6, Kohelet have given to Israel all that which he have experienced in his life. He mentioned to Israel through many things that he have experienced in his life and how he searched to find meaning in life, and at the end the conclusion was vanity of vanities, all is vanity, says the preacher, says Kohelet. But now from chapter 7 to the end of the book of Kohelet, in the second half of this beautiful message to Israel, in the last 6 chapters, Shlomo speaks of godly wisdom that is helpful for those who submit to God in order to live a godly life in a world that is vain and sinful. And there is a possibility to live a godly life in a world in which we live in. But a person, whether it is in Israel history or whether it is for you and I, we must bear in mind that we need guidance from the living God and from the Word of God. So when we have arrived to chapter 8 now in this ministry meeting, in this 8th chapter, those 17 verses, there is counsel concerning the benefit of godly wisdom. You know, when you and I meet godly brothers or godly sisters today, we see something unique about these men and women. They know how to maneuver in life. They have problems maybe at homes, at work, wherever they are, but they are godly people. They are men and women of God. They have wisdom that they gleaned from the Word of God, from obedience to the Lord, and they are able to live life. They are discerning how to conduct themselves here in this world. They have problems, they have challenges, they have conflicts, they have opposition, they experience all sorts of things in their life. And yet they always seem to shine above all others. Why? Because they have godly wisdom. Godly wisdom comes from a godly lifestyle, from a godliness in their life. Maybe they don't have much prosperity here in this world, but they have spiritual prosperity that they can give it to others in their life. I often think of Joshua, where the Lord said to him through Moshe, "This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth," Joshua 1, "and thou shalt meditate therein day and night." And then he said, "Then you will have good success. Then you shall prosper." Joshua, if you are going to be successful in possessing the land and achieving that which I have for you, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. You shall meditate therein day and night, because there is wisdom that is found in the Word of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, this is really an encouragement for us to be godly and wise in our life when we take the Word of God seriously and we apply it to our lives seriously and we seek to submit to His Word seriously. It's not a religion, it's not a system, it's not an opinion of man, it's not human ideas. It is the Word of God. It is what God is given to us in Scripture. We cannot change the Word of God. We cannot add to the Word of God. We cannot subtract from the Word of God. It is indeed the Word of God which gives us counsel as to how to live our life here under the sun, tachat ha-shemesh, on this sad, sinful world, to live a godly life for the benefit of the honor of the Lord and a blessing to others. And so notice what he began in chapter 8 and verse 1. He first of all gives us an introduction. And he says, really, in verse 1, godly wisdom enables a man or a woman to know how to interpret all things in life. You see, he began, and I'm reading verse 1, and he's asking question, and he said, who is a wise man? In other words, remember, Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, is none other man than Shlomo himself, the king of Israel. His name Kohelet here means that he gathered the Kahal, the assembly of Israel. And what does he do? He's asking a question, and he says, who is really a wise man? And who really know the interpretation of a thing? In other words, do you want to be really wise? He's asking Israel. And he would ask you and I, and he says, do you know how to discern the way things are going on here in this world? Are you a wise man? Are you a wise woman? Are you a wise brother? Are you a wise sister? He's not talking about human wisdom. He's not talking about intellect. He doesn't look about how much IQ, the height of the IQ that you have or I have. No, no. He's talking in this chapter about godly wisdom. And he asked, who is a wise man really? Who is a wise woman? Do you know how to interpret, how to discern a thing? In Hebrew, the word here interpreted means pesher. Yodea, pesher, davar. Do you know how to discern, how to evaluate things that are happening here in this world? Do you have discernment? You know, I'm fascinated sometimes how God's people, oftentimes we have very little discernment. Somebody can speak things that are not found in the Bible, and we don't discern whether it is from the Lord or not from the Lord. Someone is telling us something, and we are not wise enough to discern. Wait a minute, is it from the Word? Is it from the Lord? Or is it a human opinion? And, you know, Shlomo is saying to Israel, listen, are you wise, Israel? Are you the one that know how to discern, to know why things happen and how things happen and the reason and the purpose for the things that happen to us in our life? Can you discern? He's asking Israel, and he would ask you and I today, are you discerning between that which is sound, that which is not? Do you discern? Do you have this in your life? And notice what he says in the second half of verse 1. He's saying wisdom changes the appearance of a godly man or woman. He says in verse 1b, he says, a man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. You know, sometimes there is something shining. You might say, the believer who walk with the Lord, there is something that's shining out of his or her face because they are discerning the things of God. Even their appearance does change. The last portion, he says, the boldness of his face shall be changed. What does it mean, the boldness of his face shall be changed? In other words, the appearance, the thoughtful boldness means the sternness. You know, I don't know about you, when things are not going right for me and I don't accept it, my face are being very stern. In fact, it had been said that we use more muscles to look sad than muscles to smile. For some reason, the challenges in life, the problems in life, cause our appearance even to look very, very sad. And yet, the wise man or the wise woman, because of the godly wisdom that they have, it helps them to deal with issues, to discern and interpret any matter that happened. They know how to handle a situation in their lives. I think of Shaul Paul and the tribulation that he had experienced, the opposition that he had experienced, those who sought to kill him along the way. And wherever he had gone, you might say he might have been a person that his face would be so stern and he would be an unhappy man. And yet this man, when he was in prison, could say to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. He is encouraging the people who are free while he himself was in prison. He was a godly, wise man. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, this is how Shlomo is opening this 8th chapter. He's saying to Israel, who is a wise man? Number one, who is able to interpret anything that happened to him or to her in her life? This person will be able to do so when he or she are close to God, and even their mannerism will change. There will be a benefit to those that hear them and to those that see them. And so now from verse 2 on to the end of the chapter, Shlomo is giving Israel, you might say, four things in order to help them in their life if they will gain a godly wisdom. He is instructing Israel as to the benefit of godly wisdom. Do you know, beloved brothers and sisters, there is a benefit in this world for men and women, brothers and sisters, who are godly people. You will notice the benefit that he's saying here to Israel in the rest of the chapter. The first benefit that is for a brother or for a sister or for a man who is going to have godly wisdom. Godly wisdom, verses 2, 3, and 4, Godly wisdom will lead one to submit to the government under which he or she are under. In other words, you live in Canada, you live in Israel, you live in the United States, you live in Europe, you live in a former Soviet Union, you live in a Muslim country, in a Christian country, and wherever you live, godly wisdom will cause you to realize that you need to submit yourself to the authority that you are under. Now again, when Shlomo spoke to Israel, he was the king of Israel. The king of Israel was established by God. It's not Israel chose the king. It was God who set the king. He chose David, and through David, his descendants, Shlomo, and then Rehoboam later on. But then there was a split among the nation of Israel because Israel did not want to submit to the authority of God and to the king whom he had set. But it's the same for us today, beloved brothers and sisters. Even though we are not a theocracy here on earth, believers are living in every land, in every place around the world, including here where we are, and all over this world, the governments that be are ordained by God. We don't like it always. We don't agree with the government always. We don't agree with the prime minister or the president or the rulers that are above us. But the Bible teaches us that governments are ordained by God. And so notice what he's telling them in verse 2. Godly wisdom will lead one to submit, and notice verse 2, to keep the king's commandments. And I'm reading now verse 2. I counsel thee, saying to Israel, to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God, obey the king's commandment. It is interesting because New Testament writers like Shaul, Paul, and like Peter, Simon Peter, Shimon Petros, they wrote the very same thing to the believers we just read earlier in Romans chapter 13. And I want you to turn with me for a moment to Romans chapter 13. And you notice that Shaul, that is Paul, is writing to the Romans, and he said to them in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, he said to them these words, very clearly he said, let every soul be subject unto a higher power. Why, Paul? Why should we be subject to the authority that be? For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, you might say, God, wait a minute, I don't quite understand. You mean I'm supposed to submit to a godless authority and power and godless government? You mean that I'm supposed to submit to those that are ungodly? What about governments that are oppressive? What about governments such as we know from history, like Hitler in those days? We can look throughout history how evil men have rose and took a position in this world. What about North Korea today? A tyrant, are we going to submit to him? Well, the Bible is clearly saying to us, we don't agree with the way he lead, but governments or power that ordain are ordained of God. And notice what he says in verse 2 of Romans chapter 13, whosoever therefore resists the authority, the power, he resists the ordinance of God. For they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will then thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is, verse 4, a minister of God to thee for good. But if you will do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, and a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, it is rather strange, but yet, beloved brothers and sisters, Israel was a theocracy. God is supreme. The king was ordained by God. the assembly, that is the church, the body of Christ, we don't have any particular king here in this world that is our ruler. Yeshua is our king. Yeshua is our Lord. We are to submit to him in heaven, but he is the one who set authorities and governments here in this world. And the believers in Yeshua the Messiah are called to submit to the authorities. And by not submitting to the authorities, you actually will bring upon yourself the discipline on the authorities, because they have been ordained by God. And so you notice the wise, godly man will know how to handle his situation. Now you might say, Brother Gideon, what if the authorities will tell me not to worship God and to worship idols? Well, of course, there is always a limitation. Peter and the others in the early assemblies in the city of Jerusalem said, are we to obey men rather than God? Because they have asked them not to speak in the name of Yeshua. This is another story altogether. But when it's come to the governmental authorities over which we are under, all believers everywhere are called to submit to the authorities. To the king, as it's mentioned here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and to the authorities, as the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter mention in the book of Romans and in the book of Peter. Notice he continue. He says, and that in regard to the oath of God, verse 2. God made an oath. He promised to David that out of his seed the rulership will continue. And Shlomo became now the king. And Shlomo is saying to Israel, listen, this is the oath of God. God set the king to be a king over the nation of Israel. And you are to submit to the authority of the king.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.